So we're going to talk about love here, and it's so simple, and we'll see on the next slide here that we'll see that the love, well, I think we'll see on the next slide, that there's three things we're going to look at, and actually you can write them in, but I'll tell you what they are now. Love God, love others, and love self. So at the top of that page, and we move on with our slides here, we find out that I put these two, well, actually, I put these two great passages on the right side. They're on the right side over there, but I shortened them for here. 1 Corinthians 13, I won't read everything that's on the page there, says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have not love, I am nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. So now faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And I think most of us know that passage in 1 Corinthians 13. And then the other one I got, John has so much to say. And in this fourth chapter of 1 John, and he also says a lot about love in the book of John. But he says, behold, let us love one another, for love is from God, who sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And I went on, we love because he first loved us, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So this is just kind of a good way to go about looking at it. So if we can move on here a little bit, we'll see that the scripture focus, which is at the top of your page right there, and he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I wrote this on your page. I said also, this same thing is found in Mark and in Luke. That doesn't mean John doesn't also, but it's written just this way in those two. Well, let's talk about these commands because they were also given in the Old Testament. Jesus, when he said this, was really quoting what was in the Old Testament. But love God. And then I put this up because it's more, it's not just loving God, but my command is to love each other as I have loved you. You see, God loves us. And because God loves us, we're supposed to love others and we're supposed to love ourselves. And then Deuteronomy says, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. Did you ever hear of a guy named Brennan Manning? I don't think so, but Brennan Manning actually had been a Catholic priest. And then he kind of stepped away from that, so he wasn't a priest, and he was writing a lot of books. And he wrote some good ones, and I used to be kind of a vociferous, I just read all kinds of stuff. And I liked his stuff, it was kind of interesting. But he told a story about a man that was praying along the road. And a Catholic priest came by and said, oh, you must really love God a lot the way you're praying to him. He said, yes, I do, but not only that, I'm the one God loves. You think that sounds kind of self-centered? Isn't that what John said? In the book of John, he said, I'm the one God loves. He didn't say, I'm an evangelist, I'm this, I'm that. I'm the one God loves. And every one of us should be able to say that because God loves us. So you can say, I'm the one God loves. And she's the one God loves, and she's the one, and God loves every one of us. And it's important that we keep that in mind. How many have dogs that kind of like you a lot or have had a dog? Yeah. And a dog just can't leave you alone? You got a doggy like that, can't leave you alone? What kind of doggy you got?
Okay.
Well, dogs are kind of, you know how they are. They just can't. We had a little Yorkie dog, and he just thought my wife was the most wonderful thing in the world. Of course, I agreed with him. But I was the one that was paying for all his stuff, and I was the one that was getting his feed, and I was the one that was cleaning up after him. But he loved her. You know, I could hold him about a minute or so, and if Ann walked in the room, he'd jump off and go get in her lap. Well, I heard about a man had a dog like that. And he had a pickup truck. That's what I used to call them, pickup trucks, back when I was young. He had a pickup truck, and the dog just loved to ride right there beside him. I've got a neighbor that way. It's got a dog, and that dog just sits right in the seat beside him. It just looks like that. It's funny. And then when he stops to talk to me, the dog just looks at us. His name is Lucky. He's a big white dog named Lucky. And so anyway, he's my next door neighbor. And Lucky will start running at me. I'll say, Lucky, he'll go. But he really listens to his master. Well, this guy had a dog, and this dog just really did like his master. But one time, there was a friend, and the friend was over there, and he had some meat scraps. And he was starting to feed the dog. But when the dog heard his master come out and get in the truck and open the passenger side, the dog turned and ran and jumped in the truck. But now wait, doesn't Satan sometimes tempt us with stuff? And we should go to the master, shouldn't we? Well, that's what love is all about, and God loves us. Now, how many of you can say, I think it's amazing that God loves me? Yeah, I think a lot of us can say that. I think it's amazing that God loves me. It's so interesting that we don't. God loves us, and he forgets all of our sins if we confess them. I mean, I have to confess my sins every day. When I pray, I always confess my sins. I say, God, even the ones I don't know that I did, forgive me. And then I get thinking how I didn't treat somebody too nice, and I ask for forgiveness. Then I try to find that person and ask forgiveness from them too. And most of them say, John, that's okay. We all do that. But still, it's so important that we confess to God and we praise God. In fact, every time when I pray, at least once a day, when I pray several times a day, but I will say, Lord, keep me well enough, long enough to do what you want me to do. Lord, help me know what you want me to do. Lord, help me do it that I might serve others and glorify you. That kind of takes care of my needs there, you know. And then I pray for my great-grandkids and my I've got four children that are married. That's eight. I got 12 grandchildren. Seven are married. You can add those up. I've got 18 great-grandchildren. Okay, that's 45 people. Yes, I can name every one of them because I pray for them by name at least once a day. And I pray that they draw closer to God. And I am blessed that most of my kids are being raised that way. And actually, what I did, I knew this would come out someplace. On Tuesday this past week, I jumped in the car and went down to Fairhope, Alabama, 3 hours straight. I drove straight through. And I got to connect up with eight great-grandchildren, including one that was born in August and at the time weighed less than a pound and a half. 26 weeks. Well, he's home now, but he's still on some oxygen, but he's doing okay. Had another young one there. Had a bunch of them. How old are you? Huh? How old are you? Eight. See, and I don't know, but you're a little bit older. But my great-grandkids they had were all younger than that running around, so I had to sit down a lot so they wouldn't knock me down. But so I did that, had a great time down there, and then on Thanksgiving morning, I jumped in a car and drove 3 hours across to Panama City. Had a bunch of other great-grandkids and stuff. Then I stayed all night down there, and I left down there at 4:30 in the morning. I woke up and thought, I'm going. Which is a good time to drive if you're coming up a four-lane road. And you get somebody out ahead of you a ways, and their lights are shining, and you're just kind of staying back there and following them. It's just like, it's really good. So I got home at 7:30 in the morning. I didn't stop. I'm crazy. I mean, I know it. I should stop. But I wasn't tired. I wasn't tired. My car was comfortable, and I drank a lot of coffee. I drank coffee, you know, and that kept me awake. Well, I kind of got off the story here, except love is so important. I heard about a man some years ago that had gone to college. His mother had passed away. His dad had helped him pay his way to college, and the college was only an hour or so away. But the kid didn't go home very much to see his dad, which was kind of too bad when he could have. But it came time to graduate, and he said, Dad, I'd like that new Mustang down there. This has been some years ago. I'd like that new Mustang for graduation since I finished. Dad said, well, okay, we'll think about it. Well, it came graduation day, and the father went over for graduation and said, now we'll go back to our house. And the son said, sure. And he goes back, and he's wondering when he's going to hear from his dad. His dad said, well, I bought you something. I think it's really important for graduation. And he gave him a box. And in the box, the guy opened it. It was a Bible. He got mad and slammed it and said, that's not what I wanted. You could have bought me a car. And he took off. And he left his dad. And he actually didn't go back. Well, he had married, he went off and married his college sweetheart. He had planned to. And then next year they had a child. Next year they had one, little boys. And he thought, they're hard to take care of. But, you know, I was hard to take care of. And my dad loved me so much. Oh, I am so sorry I did that. My father loves me. I'm going to go back and see him. And he told his wife, she said, sure, honey, we'll get somebody to help me here a little bit with the kids, and it's no problem. You can go. But that night, he got a phone call. Is this, and they called his name? Your father just passed away. Oh, no. Well, he drove, was only about a day away, and he got there. He started to go through all the stuff he had to do and make arrangements for the ceremony, and he found that box with the Bible. And he took the Bible out. He said, I should have really read this. And inside it said, look at that verse you always like, John 3:16. He says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then on that page it said, go read Matthew 7:11. So he said, okay, let me see what that says. Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who's in heaven give what is good? And the boy cried and said, I got to get back into the Word. Well, the whole deal is here. God loves us. That father loved his son. That father continued to love his son until the day he passed away. And because he showed that love, that son then turned his life around. And he and his wife started raising their kids the way they ought to be raised. Well, it's important that we love God. But let's look at the next thing. We love others. Romans 13:8 says, love one another and you'll fulfill God's law. And in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18, such a powerful verse. Love your neighbor, in other words, love others as you love yourself. So there's so much on that we can take away. I've brought some verses here. I think I brought them up here with me so I don't have to look them up. I did. These are some, see, I started out by saying Matthew, Mark, and Luke said so much about love, I thought I'd give you some love verses. They're all in John. I always thought John's a pretty good guy. Anybody with a name like that? And he has four books named after him in the Bible, and he wrote that little book of Revelation too. Okay. So, John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And in the next verse, John 13:35 says, by this will all know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then just five verses later, in 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. You see, Jesus was always saying to love others. And we love God, but we have to love others. Now, do you have trouble loving other people sometimes? Anybody else or just me? Anybody else had some trouble? Yeah. Well, Jesus said the entire law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. I wrote them down. I think I can remember them. See if you've broken any of these. No other gods. Never put anything ahead of God. Okay. No idols. Never got worshipful of something. Okay. Didn't ever take his name in vain. Never. Okay. Always kept the Sabbath holy. Well, I mean, it's a little different now because we don't have the Saturday. It's different than it did then. But still, going to church, I try to keep every day holy a good deal. I really do. And I think you do too. Honoring your father and mother. I did pretty well on that. It was easier to honor my father. My mother could get pretty tough with me. I loved him. How about the no murder? But you've never wished anybody was dead. Okay. Never. Okay. No adultery. Never had a thought like that. No stealing. Oh, I got to tell you something. I really never stole. Except I remember once. And I was 16. I grew up in Iowa. Okay. And yes, Iowa's football team's doing well too. Okay. I grew up in Iowa, and I liked growing up in there. I really did. It was good growing up in Iowa. But I was a little town. I lived 8 miles away from a nearest town where I went to high school, Conrad. And there was another town about 2 miles away called Beeman. And I remember going over to Beeman, and everybody knew everybody. And I was in the drugstore. Back in those days, a drugstore had little stools you sat at, and you could have soda fountain, and had drugs there, and had everything, candy. So one time as I was going out, I saw a candy bar there, and I thought, well, take it. So I took it, and on the way home, I was eating it, and I got thinking, oh, John. And I was really lamenting over it. The next day, I drove back over there and said, that candy bar is a nickel. Here's a quarter. I took a candy bar, and I shouldn't have done it, and I want to pay you well for it. He said, I saw you take it, John. I said, why didn't you say something? He said, I thought you'd be back. I said, well, take my quarter. He said, I don't really want it. Take my quarter. I said, okay, so I'll take it. And he gave me a box of 20 candy bars to take. He said, but this is a gift for you. I said, no, you can't do that. He said, yes, because this is to help you remember when you tell the truth, it always comes out better. I never forgot that. I've never picked up anything since then. If I get home from Walmart and find out I got something I wasn't paid for, I go back. I say, hey, I didn't pay for this. They said, what? Nobody does that. I said, I did. But they know me, so it's pretty good now. But anyway, the thing is, it's important. And then no stealing. I said that. No lying. Anybody hasn't told a lie recently? Anybody told a lie recently? You don't have to. Yeah, probably. No coveting. You didn't see things you wanted. Well, you see, we're supposed to love others. And the Bible says, if you can't love your brother who's with you, how can you love others that aren't? Another Iowa story, there was a guy named Alvin Strait. Now, I can remember that name because Alvin is my middle name, by the way. Okay. By the way, he was the most popular chipmunk on Alvin, the Chipmunks. He really was. When they had the different shirts in there, the Alvin shirt sold out right away. Yeah, they did. Alvin, yeah. But anyway, Alvin Strait, that was his name. And this happened back in 1994, I think. And it became a news story after a while. Alvin Strait was 73 years old. He'd lost his eyesight pretty much. He got his license. He had to turn his license in. But his brother over in Wisconsin, maybe 250 miles away, was in really bad shape after a heart attack. And Alvin didn't have anybody to take him over there, and he wanted to go see his brother. He jumped on his little old John Deere tractor and headed off to Wisconsin. Well, this made national news. It really did. You can look it up. He went over to see his brother. When it came time to come back, all kinds of people were ready to help him. Somebody loaded his tractor up, and they took him back. But I never forgot of that. Because Alvin Strait showed that love finds a way. And that's important that we show love. In the Bible, oh, by the way, they made a movie out. He died in about 1999, and they made a movie about it. There is a movie about it. I wrote the name down someplace, but I can't find it here. But it was something about, it had the word Strait in it. But you can look up Alvin Strait, and you can find it. And you can find stuff on the internet about it. And find that they did a movie about it. But it really did make you just weep when you thought how much he loved his brother. And he wanted to get over and see his brother. So it's important that we love others and show that love. I was fortunate to have a good family. My mom had four older sisters and one younger, I guess. I won't name all. I can name them. But she had one of them that was named Mabel. And Mabel lived in Pullman, Washington. Pullman, Washington's kind of right almost on the border with Idaho. I know I've been there. And her husband had been a college teacher there. But when he retired, they wanted to move down to California to be closer to their daughter. So they moved down. And they moved to the Bay Area of California to be their daughter. And he lived right near Stanford because he wanted to be near a college. And so he wanted to live there, so he was close. But he also had Alzheimer's. I didn't know what Alzheimer's was. I didn't know what was going on. And I went out to see them one time. In fact, I was out two or three times. But I was fortunate because where I worked, they were always sending me around to speak, and I could just take off and go see other people too. But Aunt Mabel and Uncle Carl lived there. And I remember going to their house, and he would dress up with a coat and tie every day because that's what he'd done for years. So she'd help him get dressed even though he wasn't going anyplace. And she'd always fix him the same kind of breakfast he always wanted. And she did that, and he loved it. And he was always saying, well, I've got to write. I'm writing a new article. I found out later he's writing the same page over and over again. But he said, yep, my name's Carl Erickson. He said, I grew up in Iowa. He said, I went to Iowa State Teachers College. I think they call it Iowa State Teachers University now. And he said, I decided that wasn't enough. I wanted to go on, and I wanted to teach in college. So I went to the University of Iowa, and I got my doctorate in psychology. And, oh, I met this beautiful woman there. She was in nursing training. Honey, what was her name? Mabel. It was Mabel. Oh, yeah, Mabel. I loved her. She's wonderful. I sure miss. I wonder what happened to her. Well, anyway, I'm Carl Erickson, and I grew up in Iowa, and I went to Iowa State Teachers College. I think it's Iowa State Teachers University now. I was listening to this over and over. And he said, and then I went off to the University of Iowa to get my doctorate in psychology. Oh, it was great. And I met this really cute chick. Honey, what was her name? Mabel. Oh, yeah, I love Mabel. She said, Mabel loved you, and she still does. Oh, good, he said. Over and over, and I sat there just... Then I saw what she was doing. She just knew she had a role with what was going on. Now, let me tell you this. My wife passed away 19 years into Alzheimer's. My Aunt Mabel set such an example for me. And so when Ann would say stuff, and she'd say it over and over, I didn't say, you just said that. I said, oh, that's good. My kids sat there, and they couldn't hardly do it and understand it, but they were glad I was doing it. But I'm just trying to tell you, love and her love for him just never failed. Well, if you can't show love to the people you're around, how can you show to people that you don't know very well? And yet God says that we're supposed to love. And I can say this, and I'm not swearing when I say it. For God's sake, why don't you love yourself and love others and love God? For God's sake. That was not swearing in a way. Do it for God's sake. Well, we're supposed to love others. Let's look at this last one. We do have to love ourselves. I won't talk quite as long on this one maybe, but it's important. Ephesians 2:10, it says it here too on your paper. Feed and care for yourself as Christ cares for the church. And back in Leviticus again, that same verse. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, then we are to love ourselves, aren't we? Now, that doesn't mean you're self-centered, but you have to love yourself. I think people that don't like themselves can't get along with other people very well. It doesn't say that you are perfect. It doesn't say you don't need some help, but you got to love yourself. Well, I hope you all love yourself, because if we love ourselves, we're going to try to serve the Lord because we want to spend our eternity with Him. And people that don't love themselves say, well, I don't need to go to heaven. Really? I've got a kid. He's 25. He's actually on a Bible study Zoom that I do. And I do it kind of for only three or four people. He loves it. He wants on it. But let me tell you about this guy. His name is Kyrell Tolbert. And Kyrell was from Dothan, or around in that area. I had him when I was teaching at Troy. And he decided to take the minor in leadership development, which I had there. But he told me one time, you know, I'm an atheist. I said, you mean an agnostic? You just don't quite know who God is? No, there's no God. I said, okay. I wasn't going to argue with him. I did manage to get him. I was teaching some courses that you could take, three courses, 1 hour each, that were elective kind of courses but would count towards a minor. One was leadership lessons from the New Testament, one was leadership lessons from the Old Testament, and one was leadership lessons from the books of prophecy. I said, would you like to take those? I said, but whatever you do, you can't argue in class. Okay. So he took them. He would come in and talk to me. I just refused to argue with him. I'd say, well, that's pretty good. Yeah, it's good stuff in there, but hey, those are fictitious people. I said, We kept on going. I could see that he was softening a little bit. Then COVID hit. Oh, terrible COVID. That's when I was couldn't go see my wife, and I had to see her at the window, and then they limited that to 2 times a week, so I had to get his iPhone for him. We FaceTime the rest of the days, but that's beside the point. But anyway, I started teaching my last classes that he was in online. I'm on Zoom. Well, about that time, he got in some real trouble with the law because he was taking a lot of drugs. And the police came, and he was fighting them. And to make a long story short, he passed out. They put him in the hospital. Didn't know if he'd make it. There's a video of him in the hospital. There really is. I've got it. But anyway, when he kind of came to, he thought, I think there may be a God. That young man made a commitment to the Lord. He actually wants to go into ministry of some kind. This was an atheist. Now he understands what it means to love yourself. He says, sure, I love myself. God loves me. And I have to love myself and love others. Well, that's a powerful story, and it's a true story. It really is. And he actually came up. I teach a Wednesday night Bible study. A couple weeks ago, he said, I'm going to come up to it the Wednesday night. And he did. And the people were just spellbound. They knew about him, but they were just kind of spellbound to listen to him talk. So I just did kind of a short Bible study and let him do the rest of it. And it was a powerful kind of a thing. Well, it's important that we love ourselves and we love others. I was fortunate. I was raised in a little country church. And my Down syndrome son died a year ago, too. I had lost a lot of people, my sister, my son, my wife. I went up to his little service at the little Alice Church of God. And my mother was a Methodist. We had Baptists, Presbyterians, Catholics, a lot of people. We got along real well. We really did. And I went up there, and as I sat there and I looked at the gravesite, and I'd had his stone already, I knew that's where I was going to have him. Because when I left Iowa, I had him in such a great thing, I couldn't find anything else that good. So I'd go up and see him several times a year, and we got where we FaceTimed, you know, when I had FaceTime and so on, and he was just having a good time. And he made it to 60 years old, and then he just passed away. So anyway, went up there. It was kind of interesting going around this old cemetery where I'd been a little kid, running around and seeing all these tombstones. I mean, we had old people in our church that were 60 and 70 years old. I had one guy that was, I'm older than that, 80. 80 was old back then. Louis Hess lived to be 80 years old. I thought, that's tremendous. I beat him. Okay. But anyway, as I saw that, and I saw here was my parents, grandparents, great-grandparents were all buried there. What had happened was back in 1870s, early 1860s, they were moving west, and they came by way of Pennsylvania to Illinois, then they came to Iowa, and they settled right in that little church area, and they were some of the first family there. And the Kleins, George and Mary Klein, had a boy named John Alvin Klein. I was named for him. Okay, and then there was another family. They were called the Finks. Funny name, I know. And they had a little girl named Fanny Fink. Fanny Fink and John Alvin Klein liked each other from the time they were little, and they got married. And it's interesting, though, as I see all that, and I realize I'm blessed because I was told you got to love people no matter what they're like. Well, I think what we talked about today, you can't beat talking about love. And so if we just kind of wrap this up here, what it is, the love triangle, love God, love others, and love self. If you do that, you're going to fulfill the law. Yes, you do have to love yourself because you love others as yourself. So you love yourself, and that's why you read the Bible. That's why you pray. That's why you try to be a Christian in your testimony and everything that you do. You try to be the kind of person people can look at and say, yeah, that's great.